Hello, and welcome to the Recon Ride. I'm Dane Cash.
And I'm Cosmo Catalano.
And we're back at it again, because the Volta Catalunya kicks off on Monday.
Yeah, it's the 96th edition of the Volta a Catalunya, which is really a long time for... I mean, it's older than the Vuelta.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how long a tradition the race has, given that it's kind of seen as one of the lesser stage races on the World Tour. World Tour B, you know, it's like a 1B race in the eyes of many people. But it does have a lot of history. It was founded all the way back in 1911, pre-World War I.
Yeah, and it's gone through, I don't know if I talked about this last year. I know I found some old Tumblr posts from the race posters in the Franco era. And it's very, you know, the race changed from being the Volta a Catalunya to the Vuelta a Catalonia, because, you know, you couldn't speak Catalan under Franco's regime. And I mean, it's even just looking through the posters, you get this beautiful cross section of Spanish history. It's really cool. It's a race that seems like it has a lot of local interest, and maybe some of that can be carried over to make it financially sustainable, which, as we saw with the Tour of Colorado, isn't always the case with these kind of week-long races.
Yeah, Catalonia is really a hotbed for cycling, and it's pretty impressive the number of cyclists, especially English-speaking cyclists, who live in Catalonia, particularly in the Girona area. This is a really important place for pro cycling. It's got a lot of great climbs. There's a whole lot of interest in cycling. And you get a guy like Joaquim Rodriguez who comes out of this area. So, yeah, you would think that there's plenty of interest to keep this race going. That maybe no surprise in that it's been around for so long because it's such a big cycling area.
And, I mean, you think with this interest in cycling, both racing and recreational, that they'd be able to put on good coverage of events. But I guess that's not always the case.
Yeah, the TV coverage, I mean, it just kind of sucks a lot. And I think part of that's the weather. It has been in the last couple of years rainy during the race, and that has meant problems for the race coverage, the TV coverage. But it's kind of becoming a running joke at this point how bad the coverage is, and that's never good. You don't want that to be what people think of when they think of your race. You don't really want that to be what people think of when they think of racing in your country, and that's kind of what has happened with Pais Vasco, San Sebastian the last couple of years. It's not been great. You're
definitely thinking of Greg Van Avermaet and the motorbike at San Sebastian.
Yeah, maybe they could use a little bit of help trying to improve the organization so that people don't so much associate what's otherwise an incredible race with an incredible start list, particularly this year, with those sorts of foibles, if you will. But yeah, it is an incredible race, and they have a great parkour every year. It's very climber friendly, and therefore it draws a lot of big name climbers. Let's dig a little deeper into that, and let's look at the stages for this year's Volta a Catalunya. The 2016 Volta a Catalunya kicks off with what is really a quintessential Catalunya stage. It just climbs right off the bat, starting and finishing in the quaint little seaside town of Calella. This route last year was just perfect Catalunya racing. Macias Peterski won the stage from a three-man breakaway. Pierre Roland was involved as well. And at the time, it looked like that breakaway might just totally shake up the whole race. Peterski and Roland both eventually fell back on GC, but it's a great example of the way this race often works. There's just so many climbs and opportunities to go on the attack. You never really know what's going to happen, and they don't wait till day four or five to get going with the climbs. They just throw them in the first day and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that the climbs aren't, I mean, they are big climbs, but they're put in the stage such that they don't have that immediate big climb impact. So you don't have the whole race kind of waiting for this big climb at the end or near the end. It's like, you know, the highest point in the stage is 40K in or 50K in, and then you've got another mountain, another 30K later. And it's just very, I don't want to say, it is unpredictable racing. So.
And I do like that none of these climbs are super hard, and that means that it's not going to be this kind of slow grinding down that you would get if you had, for instance, last year's Queen Stage of the Vuelta, which was supposed to be this super exciting attack fest, and it ended up just being this slog, this war of attrition. That's not what this race has. There are plenty of climbs, but none of them are so hard that it makes for boring racing. Stage two, I think we have a chance to see the sprinters. Like any Catalonia stage, it does have some climbing. The Alt de los Angles climb, which is a very popular ride if you live in or around Girona. Then things do get a little easier. And towards the end of the day, the road kind of gently angles upward, but I think it won't be so hard as to really drop the fast finishers. So stage two, probably a day for the stage hunting types, and less so for the GC guys.
It is indicative. The sprinter's day here has a climb of, you know, 300 meters over the last couple of kilometers. So
yeah, that's Catalonia for you.
Yeah.
Stage three, Hello Mountains. Four category one climbs, including the finish. The last one, the very popular Catalonia climb, very popular Volta Catalunya climb to the La Molina ski resort. It's 11 kilometers at 4.5%, which it's a tough climb, and it's made a lot tougher at the end of a tough day. TJ Van Garderen won here last year in a pretty impressive grind to the top with a nice group of rivals around him. And yeah, 11 kilometers, 4.5% maybe doesn't sound super hard, but this climb, the way it's raced, it always ends up being a pretty exciting showdown.
Yeah, I am generally, I think just because of how Grand Tours have come to be raced, climbs like these tend not to be so good because people are really trying not to lose. But in a race like Catalunya, you really have to kind of make your moment when it's there. So I think you get a lot more aggression, a lot more chance taking on a flatter, grindier climb like this.
If you missed your chance in stage three, don't worry, because there's plenty of more opportunities to get some GC room on stage four, which has two special category climbs. It closes out with the Port Aine climb, which is a real doozy, especially after already having gone up another special category and Cat 1 climb right before it. Port Aine is an 18.5 kilometer climb at 6.8%. That's quite a hard climb at this point in the season.
And this is kind of your last chance. If you're looking to just outclimb everybody and bank that bunch of time at the summit finish, this is it, because the rest of the racing is going to be hectic. And if you aren't confident in your team or in your ability to really hold the front of the race, if you don't have a good cushion here, you're not going to be able to finish with it.
Stage five is a punchy day, another very Catalonia-type day. There's a late Category 2 climb. There's a lumpy finish, the sort of day that you might see some guys trying to get up the road. Maybe not a huge GC-type day, but another one of these exciting, who-knows-what's-going-to-happen kind of finishes. Stage six, maybe a real sprinter's day, finally, because who knows what's going to happen in that stage two, just because there are some climbs on the day. Stage six, I think that the sprinters actually will have a chance to go for it in the finish. Of course, there are climbs. There always are. But things do really level out towards the end. It's a 200-kilometer stage, which is pretty long. But I would imagine that it's either going to be a sprint or a breakaway of non-contenders. And then stage seven is the classic Volta Catalunya finale in Barcelona, where the peloton will climb Montjuïc, I don't know, like 35 times approximately. They just go up and down and up and down and up and down this iconic Barcelona climb. They actually go up. It's eight times. That's how many times they climb it. Alejandro Valverde won the stage last year. It's a classic Valverde kind of stage.
It's a good way to finish a race too. It's fun.
It is, and it's in the city and
to watch.
And, yeah, exactly. And people. Yeah, probably not as fun to ride.
Especially not if Valverde's doing it.
He is not here this year, so somebody new will win this stage, although I would not be surprised if it were somebody with a similar skill set, because this is just very much an Alejandro Valverde kind of day. But again, it's a tough group of climbs in the very last stage. There's two hard mountain stages in the middle. It opens up with a hard mountain stage. There's pretty much mountains all throughout this race, so no surprise then that this stage race has probably the best start list we've seen yet this year. I would imagine it's going to be one of the best start lists we'll see all year in terms of GC contenders. They are all here pretty much, so let's take a closer look at that. We'll be right back. So we have already teased out the fact that this is a very impressive start list. Let's actually get a little deeper into that. I really don't know where to start because three of the... Let's get back to this Big Four conversation. Three of last year's Big Four are here. All of the new Big Four are here. Last year's winner, Richie Porte, is here.
Do we really call them that?
No, we don't. Nobody calls them that. Joaquin Rodriguez, former winner, is here. Where do we start? I mean, this could be the best start list of the year in GC terms. I'll just, for no particular reason, I'll go with Nairo Quintana. We'll kick the conversation off with Nairo Quintana.
Not even from the same continent, man.
No, but he does ride for Movistar, which is the Spanish team. So, all right, there's some reasoning there.
Okay.
I want to start with Quintana because he said something that really interested me at the Tour de San Luis in January. And that is, well, he said two things. First off, he said that this is a race that he would really like to win because it's a race that he has yet to win, despite coming here a number of times. And more interesting to me was the fact that we were in a roundtable interview and he mentioned that he was racing here a couple of years ago when he was still just coming up in the sport. He was a big prospect, but hadn't quite proven himself just yet. And he was riding alongside Alberto Contador at the time. And Contador told him, you know, one day you'll be up here riding with me. You'll be competing with me. And lo and behold, of course, that's what happened. And it was really cool that Nairo kind of had that in his mind. It's something that he still remembered. And this was the place where that happened. And it'll be nice to see both Quintana and Contador here in this race doing, I would imagine, what they do best, because it's just a climb city here. And both of those guys should be on point and ready to go here.
Yeah, Contador got a little robbed at Paris-Nice, not so much by other riders, but by the weather. And I was actually really impressed with how much work he did to try and win that race. Like, I think it's because he first came to popular prominence, if anybody in cycling makes popular prominence, back in an era when Grand Tours, when you're good at them, were really boring. And he's actually, especially since his suspension, kind of thrown off that mold. He's been very aggressive. He's been a guy who will attack for the sake of attacking just because he's not leading on GC. And this is a type of racing that really plays well to that. And, you know, I kind of want to see him go up a big climb.
Yeah, he was really, you could see that really bummed him out not to win Paris-Nice. And I think he's going to be just as motivated to come here and win this race, which officially he has never actually won because he was stripped of his 2011 title. Does that matter to him at all? I don't really know. I kind of doubt it, but it's an interesting thought. Chris Froome is here. Again, just to give you the really good idea of the caliber of the start list, we obviously could have started with Chris Froome, but we didn't. We started with somebody else. That's how good the start list is here. Chris Froome, two-time Tour de France winner, is here. This is a rare World Tour stage race that Chris Froome has not podiumed in yet. But there's plenty of reason to believe he could do it this year if he's in form. We haven't seen him for a couple of weeks, but there are some nice long climbs here for him. Just his sort of climb, I think, on stages 3 and 4, and that should give him plenty of opportunity to leave everyone else in the dust if he is in fact in shape.
Of course, Froome would also have to make it through that kind of hectic series of climbs on the last day, which means he's going to want strong teammates. Unfortunately, he's going to have Geraint Thomas here as a good lieutenant. The Paris-Nice winner it'd be interesting to see how Sky uses him. The textbook technique is going to be to have Thomas ride fast and then Froome go faster, but you know, I would kind of like to see something different, just because it makes for more interesting racing. Speaking of teammates, we also have Richie Porte and TJ Van Garderen from BMC, both here, both together. I think their first time both together in what I consider actual road biking season. At Tirreno, TJ really didn't get a chance to show his best climbing ability because they had a weather-canceled day. And while this isn't your stereotypical Team BMC racing, there's no team time trial, there's no individual time trial, I really want to get a sense of the sort of chemistry between these two on the team, because BMC never seems to really be able to get it together with Van Avermaet and Gilbert, so it'll be interesting to see if they can manage that sort of collaboration in a stage race environment.
Yeah, at least Richie Porte will be comfortable here in a race he's won before, or TJ, a race he's won a stage in, and this would be a good opportunity for them to show that they can play nice together. which is a question that I think a lot of people have. Can they play nice together in, when it really matters in the Tour de France? Now that we can at least put that to the test in a slightly smaller race.
And of course, you know, we can't mention a Spanish stage race without mentioning Samuel Sanchez, famously of Euskaltel, now somewhat less famously, but also on BMC. And a valuable, he's come to the front and done some work in some races, the end of Amstel Gold. I don't know if he's his old explosive self, but always cool to watch.
You're getting up there to 38 years old, but he managed to do some good things last year, was present in some big moments for the team. Fabio Aru, Miguel Lopez make for a really impressive Astana duo. I don't really know what to expect from either of those riders because I don't know how big of a target this is for them. But Lopez has just been really, really impressive these last couple of weeks. He won a stage and was fourth overall in San Luis. He won a stage and was third overall in Langkawi. He's really come into his own at the start of this year, and either Fabio Aru or Miguel Lopez could do really well in this race, which doesn't have a time trial, which that would be the biggest obstacle for either of these riders to overcome against some of these other impressive names. Without a time trial, you got to look at Aru and Lopez to do well in this race.
Also, we have to mention Joaquim Rodriguez. I mean, I don't even know how he made his way this far down on the favorites list. He's a two-time winner. He's actually a real home rider because he is Catalan. Which is, despite being much smaller than the United States, has a much more defined regionality to it. You know, Contador is from Madrid. It's not really the same as being from Catalonia. But it's a great race for him regardless, because you have these hard mountains, but hard mountains that require you to have some kind of one-day racing savvy. You know, Rodriguez is a guy who's, you know, he's finished on podiums all over the place, but never been a dominant Grand Tour rider in terms of winning, and this is kind of his bread and butter. So lots of room for him, even if he doesn't take the overall, to take a stage.
And of course, we can't fail to mention Ilner Zakarin on the start list. We know what happens when we forget to mention his name. He's here too.
And you know, while we're on the topic of former winners and also people who live in the area, we have to mention Dan Martin. This was kind of the first race where we really saw the Dan Martin that emerged as, you know, a Liège winner. He had a great day here in 2013 before the rare and deadly Panda of Wallonia appeared. He knows the roads. And again, a guy sort of like Rodriguez, who, while not, you know, Martin's Grand Tour resume is nowhere near what Rodriguez's is, but he has that ability to really to apply that one-day racer's savvy to a stage race.
Also, since we've mentioned Aru, Rodriguez, Martin, guys who are really good at climbing and not very good at time trialing. I'm also going to throw Romain Bardet into the conversation. He was okay at Paris-Nice, finishing in the top 10. I think he would have done slightly better if he'd had one extra mountain stage to play with. He was pretty aggressive there. And I think he's going to be in good shape here at this race, just because this is a nice parkour for him. And he does have the always impressive AG2R climbers squad around him. Got to watch out for guys like Domenico Pozzovivo as well. I was going to say let's get into the outsiders, but it's not really a fair term here because of just the caliber of racers. I mean, we've named so many big stars so far. We have yet to mention, for instance, Esteban Chavez, another excellent climber, really strong in this sort of parkour. I would imagine he'll be up there fighting with the rest of these guys. He has not done a whole lot yet this year, but he is targeting the Giro, so you have to think he's going to get into form pretty soon.
We have Rafael Weiss, too, who is not... He had this, I don't want to say bizarre, he rode great, had a great win at Tour of Oman last year, and has been in the top 10. He was top 10 at Paris-Nice last year. He was top 10, I think, at this race last year. Yeah, so a guy who has shown pedigree but really hasn't come up to confirm it yet.
Rocking with new team Lotto Soudal, though. You never know, maybe that will help, because that's a team that has kind of lacked a GC star for ever. I don't know. When's the last time Lotto Soudal did anything in a GC? We've also got Tom Dumoulin. This isn't exactly his kind of race, but he has shown that he can surprise us in the past. Trek's coming here with rider Heijerdahl and Julian Arredondo. Cannondale, which is kind of a home team in Catalonia because so many of their riders are based here, has Andrew Talansky, who dropped out of Paris-Nice, but I would imagine he's going to be coming to Catalunya hoping to do something big.
He should. I picked him to do well. Picked him to win. He owes me. He owes me.
Yeah, he does owe you. He owes you big. Robert Hesink for Lotto NL. Really, the start list is just full of names who could contend in the GC, and it seems unfair calling any of them outsiders just because there's so many big names here.
And kind of on the opposite side of that spectrum, we have a pretty thin field of sprinters. Not that there aren't fast people here, but you don't have, you know, Kittel, you don't have Degenkolb. There are, you know, you've got Nasser Buhani and a bunch of other people who are pretty good. Like they've won races, but they're not the first name off your lips. Enrico Gasparato is here. Johnny Miersman has a nice turn of speed. Ben Swift, Borat Bozic.
Yeah, you think of some of those guys who get over the hills really well, maybe like pseudo sprinters. I mean, Orica Greenedge with Simon Gerrans, for instance, perfect example. He can do a great sprint. He's not really a bunch sprint kind of guy. But that's really the kind of skill set you need to bring to Catalunya, because you're not going to get many opportunities to just go straight out on a long straightaway. Also in that category, I want to mention Carlos Barbero of Caja Rural. He won the Philly International Classic last year. He's done a whole lot of really impressive things at lower level races, never really done much in a World Tour race, but Caja Rural doesn't get all that many opportunities to do so, and you would think that given a chance to ride at the World Tour level, he might take advantage of it, and these are the kind of profiles that you could expect him to do well on. So keep an eye out for Barbero on some of these lumpier days. All right, I think I went first to Torino. You want to take a stab at predictions?
Yeah. I was pretty impressed with Contador's efforts at Paris-Nice. So I I'm an emotional selector, so I'm going to go with Contador to win here. I kind of undersold him. He definitely seems like a guy who's motivated and a guy who can profit from this kind of racing. I'm going to go with Dan Martin in second, just because I want him to do well on his new team. I want him to do something that isn't, you know, doing well at one-day races, which I think will be a bigger focus on Edex Quickstep. And then I like Rodriguez in third, because I like Rodriguez. I do tend to always place him in third, but, you know, it's nothing wrong with being third. It's a good finish.
I am having a really hard time narrowing this start list down to just three riders, but all right, here goes. I'm going to say that I see Nairo Quintana as my favorite. One thing that I find really impressive about Nairo Quintana is the way that he has historically been able to show up at races despite not having a whole lot of prep racing in his legs and just dominate. You see a lot of guys need to build into this kind of thing. And Quintana, he often takes these long periods away from competition and then just kind of rides his way onto the podium with seemingly effortlessly. He hasn't done a whole lot of racing since January, and I'm kind of expecting that not to hurt him too much here. This is a great parkour for him, no time trial. Movistar is going to be motivated to do well in Spain. So, again, who knows? This is such a great start list, but I love seeing Nairo Quintana up here with these other big stars, and yeah, I'm going to go with Quintana to win. I'll put Alberto Contador on my podium as well, maybe second. The way he rode Paris-Nice was really impressive. I expect him to come out firing on all cylinders again here. And third, former winner Richie Porte, former winner Joaquim Rodriguez. It's really hard to pick between all these guys. I'm going to go with Fabio Aru. I think this is a great parkour for Aru. Just so many opportunities to leave these other guys behind on the tough climbs, and that's what he excels at. He hasn't raced a whole lot. He wasn't in Torino. He wasn't in Paris-Nice. But I'm not going to let that keep me from putting him on my provisional podium. So I feel like we usually have more overlap between our picks.
Yeah, this is unprecedented.
Well, I think just the number of guys here who are so strong, I mean, it's a pretty good sign of that, because how many races have we done where we've had the same three guys on our podium?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a testament to the sort of racing you see here too, both the depth of the field and the type of race, you know, like you're having a day where you just don't feel like throwing the bike over in the corners here, and, you know, you could lose the race. So
one thing I like about Catalunya is, given the number of mountain stages, if you find yourself out of the GC conversation, that doesn't mean that you need to just give up and go home. You saw this with TJ Van Garderen last year. He crashed really badly on one of the days and just tumbled way down the general classification. But he picked himself back up, and he went and won one of the hardest stages in the race. And so if you see any of these guys, any of these big names that we've mentioned, for one reason or another, have a bad day or fall out of the GC, that doesn't mean that they're going to bail out. They could be right up there the next day fighting for a stage win, and that'll still give us an opportunity. No matter what, I think we're going to see a great showdown between all these big GC names here.
You know, this is a good race. I think it's just at the wrong time of year, but, you know, I'm not the one putting it on, so I don't have a whole lot of skin in that game.
Yeah, is there a different time of year where you think this would be better place?
I really think between the Giro and the Tour, something, or between the end of the Classics and the Giro, sometime when there's a kind of shift in the focus of the season from these really flat, burly one-day races to going up hills fast or multi-day racing, where you got to consider the rest of the competition before you go all out on one day. It seems to me that the motion everybody in cycling kind of wants to go in is getting the best riders together on the same courses at the same time when people are paying attention. And, you know, we can't stress enough how great this start list is, but everybody else is looking at Roubaix and Flanders and, you know, Liège, not at this sort of racing. And we'll see some guys here from here at Liège with good fitness because they went here. But, you know, is that gonna draw eyeballs? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe this race would be able to kind of shake its reputation as a lesser stage race if it were elsewhere on the calendar. I mean, I feel like Suisse and the Dauphiné just kind of naturally they draw attention because of where they are on the calendar. And who knows? I will say that Catalunya, despite its poor TV coverage, tends to deliver in the racing department. So I will certainly have at least one eye glued to the race, even if the other one is fixed on Flanders and the racing that will be happening there over the next couple of weeks. Speaking of which, we'll be doing plenty of pre-race podcasting for the Cobbled Classics. Just like last year, we're going to do an E3 Gent-Wevelgem show. We're going to do a Flanders show and a Roubaix show. So all of that's coming up. Be sure to stay tuned for those podcasts in the near future. Until then, enjoy the Volta Catalunya and the very impressive start list. This has been the Recon Ride Podcast. I'm Dane Cash.
And I'm Cosmo Catalano.
And that's our show.